Hey everybody, it's Blake,
and this is Drew,
and you're listening to Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke Controllers Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 90 of the podcast. If you've been listening for a while, you know what time it is. We have got a guest for this episode. I actually made Blake do some legwork this time and go hunt out somebody we actually didn't know on Reddit. And we got lucky and found somebody who's not crazy, or so far it seems. We want to introduce our new friend here, Logan, aka Texican.
Howdy.
Man, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun so far. We've if you follow our social media at all, we've posted a couple of them. We've played three sessions of Sea of Thieves. That's what we've been doing with him, and kind of a preparation to get comfortable talking and playing games together and stuff like that. I guess the best place to start is where you started in video games, because I don't know how old you are. Me and Blake are old as hell, so we started all the way back on the Nintendo. So where'd you start your gaming career?
I started probably, not my career, but playing video games as a whole when I was like 5 on PlayStation 2.
Nice.
My dad had been traveling until he was around 22, 23. He'd been traveling with the Marines, and then when he got out, he got a PlayStation 2 and a computer, and I had that PlayStation 2 until I was around 10. So that's just Ratchet and Clank and stuff is where I started on that.
That's a pretty epic console to start on.
Yeah, PS2 is probably one of my favorites.
It's still like the apparently it's still the only console left that hasn't the Switch hasn't outsold yet.
I mean, it has one of the greatest video game libraries of all time, because it's got the original Battlefront series. It's got again Ratchet and Clank. And then, God, what was another one I played?
We played a ton of RPGs. That's where our bread and butter was.
They had a lot of Metal Gear Solid as well.
Metal Gear Solid. That was awesome.
Anything done by Kojima. Do you have a favorite during that genre? Like you said Ratchet and Clank, but do you have like a favorite that you've replayed hundreds of times, thousands of times, or at least like 10?
Because I was so young playing video, I never really beat video games at that age. Yeah. I don't know why my dad was such a butthole with it. He wouldn't let me save on his old memory cards. And so whenever I played a game, I had to restart. And so it was just, how far can I get into the game this time?
The one game I
did that a lot with was the remake of the Robots movie, or the video game remake of the Robots movie.
I never played that.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was awesome. It wasn't an exact like one-to-one movie recreation, but it definitely did feel like I was part of like that world. It was awesome. Kept 5-6-year-old me busy, so I guess that's all I can ask for.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He had the voice in the movie. You forget
which person but he did active work in that. Yeah,
he might have reprised the role in the video games. He liked video games.
Oh yeah, he loved video games. Hence his daughter being named Zelda. We talked about how you got started in games. Let's talk about your streaming career. What was like the first game that you streamed? The
first game that I streamed. Oh God, that was back when I was exclusively an Xbox player. Because at some point I went from PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 to Xbox 360. And when I did Xbox 360, a buddy of mine and I found out that you can stream directly to YouTube through Black Ops 2 on the Xbox 360. And
I didn't know you could do that.
You had to jump through some hoops. It was not easy, because it was right around when YouTube first started doing streaming. So it worked, but half the time. But that was definitely the first game I streamed.
Wow, a long time ago.
That's a bit.
That, That YouTube channel is hopefully gone and forgotten. that was
some
like
cringeworthy.
You didn't use the same.
Oh yeah, I was like 13, 14
same,
years old.
Did you use the same screen name back then? Your same tag?
No.
Okay, so it'll be harder for people to find then.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh gosh, you might not want to find it.
Better go ahead and block it.
We had
it.
An old YouTube thing where Blake had a camcorder. We made dumb videos. We had these. Oh god, it was bad. Those plastic lightsabers and stuff like that, and lightsaber battling outside and recording it on cameras and putting it on YouTube. Just real dumb stuff you do when you're a teenager.
I really hope it's gone.
That's buried or deleted off of YouTube.
I don't think this channel exists anymore. Okay, we might be good.
Okay, you're safe.
What's your favorite like genre, either genre or favorite game specific to be around streaming and one, you know, you like the most?
Sea of Thieves is definitely one of my favorite streaming games just because it's first off my PC can handle it. That's one of the big issues with games with me is finding a game that my PC can both stream and something I can enjoy on my downtime. The game Sea of Thieves is the game I've put the most hours into because across Xbox and Steam I've got over 2.5 weeks of actual in-game playtime. But my favorite games of all time have to be the 2019 remake of Modern Warfare and the new Modern Warfare 2 that came out in October last year.
I think I played the original one. You don't play Call of Duty at all,
hardly. I suck at FPSs.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at it because I've been playing video games for...
Is that the one that has the ghillie suit mission where you're crawling through the grass? That famous mission? Or is that Modern Warfare 1?
The new Modern Warfare 2 has a ghillie suit mission. And I've hated it.
Oh, really?
I can't remember which original one had it because it's been a hot minute since I've played the original Modern Warfare series.
Wait, which one was the one that had that optional tutorial mission? Was that Modern Warfare or what Call of Duty was that?
Is that the one where General Shepard was watching you run through like the little paintball course?
No, you're like running through like an airport shooting people.
That was not a tutorial mission. That was an actual mission, and that one was called No Russian.
Yeah, there you go. But it was that's like Modern Warfare optional, 2. Though.
Yeah, on there several copies of the game, or they updated it, I think, to where because it was such a controversial mission, you were allowed to skip it, and then in countries like China, it was completely banned. You weren't allowed to play the mission
because you just went in just guns blazing like an active airport.
Yeah,
yeah,
it wasn't like
the civilian setting.
Yeah, I remember that had a lot of heat and controversy around the time it came out. They're like, we're sticking to our guns. Oh, we'll put in an option for you to skip it like less than a week later.
Yep.
They were terrified of it.
Well, Sea of Thieves being your big thing, that's the game we played together. We'll talk about that a bit. What is it about Sea of Thieves in particular that keeps drawing you back to it?
I honestly can't put it to one thing. There's a grand many things because when I first got it,
you're early adopter for Sea of Thieves?
I was. Yeah. I wasn't like day one, but I played season zero when they started doing Battle Pass stuff, and they had at the time it was just marketed as, oh, it's a goofy pirate game, you can get on with your friends, it's PvE, so there's bot enemies and then other players that could potentially harm you, but it's a big open world that my friend Adam and I started playing together, just him and I, and there it didn't have those tall tales like the Pirates of the Caribbean one we did. That didn't exist at that point. They had maybe one or two actual Sea of Thieves original stories you could play, but mainly it was just go around, find treasure, play a shanty or two, eat a banana to heal, and bananas were the only healing item at that point in the game.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think we might have tried it early back then, like then too. We might have tried it. I remember beta probably. We might have tried the beta.
I remember
back
trying
then.
The beta and joining either the Souls people or the Gold Hoarders.
Something like that, yeah.
But those are the two biggest ones.
But all we did was go out in the ocean and get killed by other players like immediately. And that's when it first launched, and it was like it's still very active now. But like we just immediately ran into other players and got murdered constantly when we first started playing. So
or they do
that
the,
was a big put off for us originally.
Or they do the old pirate thing where you go through a whole mission and you're on your way back to drop the chest off, and you get merch on dock. And they deposit your chest for you.
That's the whole point, yeah.
And you're just like, I get it, you want to be a pirate, but come on, there can't be a safe haven on this particular island or something.
Nowhere is safe.
It was rough.
That's one of the things I like about those. I guess that's one thing that brings me back is they're not going away from PvE, but they're the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, for the most part, has leaned away from PvE. Mm-hmm. Like that first mission, we sail through a portal to start it. Yeah, once you pass through that portal, no one is, it's just you in there. Mm. And so it offers a more linear experience for players looking to learn the game, on top of giving you more things, like things you know. Pirates of the Caribbean, everybody knows Johnny Depp, especially after his trial. But you get to play alongside Jack Sparrow and all of his friends and trying to save the Sea of Thieves from Davy Jones. And it's, that's honestly, it wasn't what brought me back into it, but it definitely helped me play it a little more, because I've done all five of the chapters of that story, and it's fantastic.
It's kind of like the, you might drift away, and then like when a new season comes out, you'll dip back in, see what's going on and stuff like that.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
And I mean, they've constantly got tons of free content with the season pass. You don't have to buy it to get a lot of the stuff. So it definitely, you don't have to buy more for a game you've already paid for to continue getting a bunch of cool stuff for free.
That's cool. And we did a lot. Like I'll say, the most we've played the game has been the times we've played with you is the more, and the only time we've actually ever really accomplished anything. We played with a friend before, but he did like everything. Like we just ran around and died, and he ran around and like kind of how you started to do, but then we were able to participate in like the actual ship battles and stuff. We played with him. He just ran around and like did all the stuff, and we were doing I guess it was treasure hunts where you had to like find all the clues, and he kind of knew all the answers, so he was just like running around digging up the treasure and running back. We were just kind of like twiddling our thumbs, like
killing the skeletons, on fighting skeletons,
doing like this ain't fun at all. But we actually, with the missions you picked out, were like we all kind of got to do have a part and do a whole thing. So it's actually a different kind of experience for us.
Yeah, that's one of the things I try to do when I play. My friend Adam makes it really hard because he likes to sit around and cook all the time. But
game.
Yeah, you can kill pigs, chickens, snakes, sharks, and go fishing, which I specifically didn't. I tried not to tell you guys you could do it, because every friend I've gotten into the game has found out you can fish and has done nothing but fish.
Yeah. That's what our cousin was doing when we were playing. We were sailing, everybody's sailing, and remember when he was fishing and he fell off the boat that time. That's what he was doing. He was fishing, got distracted, and walked off the boat. So
exactly.
That's the fun. I think that's what the parts of the game that make it entertaining, because it's like that moment to moment like action, I think, is what helps. And maybe it's why the game has the staying power that it's had, because I haven't. We don't necessarily like the like getting a whole bunch of gold and just buying cosmetics never has been like a big pull for us to play a game. But for that game specifically, we've always enjoyed the more like the best one I had was those fortresses. We fought those fortresses.
That was the outposts. Shadow of the Veil.
That kind of big bombastic ship battles. That thing was probably like the biggest spectacle of things we've seen. I mean, I think we kind of saw the Megalodon, but Blake had fallen asleep during the Megalodon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we didn't fight it because he said, like,
text. It's
said
one of the more annoying things.
Yeah, but if you keep sailing and don't engage, it eventually leaves you alone, is what he said. You were snoring in the headphones. We're trying to get to the back to port to turn it to treasure in the stream, and you were just snoring away. I think that's
the one Brian was on. I think
that's the one Brian was on. We're all laughing at you snoring in your headset.
I can't help it. I can't. I don't stay up.
He's not a big nighttime person.
I'm an early bird.
I wasn't until yesterday.
As of right now, there's like what, nine? We're in season nine, I guess.
I believe we're in season nine.
Do you have like a favorite season, or like, but better yet, a favorite update, probably, like, or something? Ooh, that added in?
I don't. Sea of Thieves was one of the first games that got me into paying attention to updates, so I'm not sure which one. I think my favorite update was when they brought Reapers. And that's a hot take, because Reaper, I hate Reapers. I hate it when people play Reapers, because it prioritizes, once you sign on with the Reaper's emissary, it prioritizes hunting other pirates down, killing them, stealing their loot, and turning everything into the Reapers. And you get I think you get a significantly less amount of money for doing that for each specific item, but the bonus you get with the Reaper's emissary is really good. But with the release of the Reapers came, or at least with the Reapers Hideout Island, came the release of Reapers chests, which are those, when you look on the map, you see those big rainbow, like spirally beacons, and the golden beacons that shoot up from the coast, or from the horizon. And those are Reapers chests and Reapers bounties. And those get you, when they released it, got you a ton of blue doubloons or blue coin. And then the Reapers bounty gets you a lot of gold. The only downside is that everyone on the server you're on can see at the map at all times where those chests are until they get sold. So if you pick one up and put it on your ship, they can see exactly where you are. They can kind of, you kind of telegraph where you're going, unless you're, you know, trying to like point your feet in two different directions to never let them know your next move. But
have
it's just,
have you done, I assume as a, you've played all the content. I assume you tried playing for, you've done the Reaper stuff for a while yourself, went around harassing other players.
I have only, to this day, I have only played as a Reaper's emissary once.
It's not your style.
I thought it was fun because I was with one of my old childhood friends at the time, and then his buddy, and we had a good time. We didn't really do a lot of harassing other players. We did a lot of sea forts where you pull up and fight a bunch of ghosts, steal all their treasure, and then leave. But I think we might have sunk like a grand total of one or two ships during our like 5-hour session. And then at the very end, we turned all our stuff in and then gave all of our leftover food, cannonballs and stuff to a player we saw. And so, I mean, I try not to be a Reaper. I try not to harass players.
If you gave all your stuff away, that's not very Reaper-like if you gave a bunch of stuff away.
We literally spent, I think it was a grand total of 15 minutes just moving filling storage crates and moving them onto his ship for him because he didn't exactly trust us.
I wouldn't either if you see. Because you're marked. Ain't you marked as a Reaper when you're playing as a Reaper?
Yes.
You're just a chat. Oh, you are?
You are specifically marked. I think
when you play Reaper's Emissary.
Yeah, I think you saw some Reapers when we were playing, but they stayed away from us. Or just didn't see us. Actually haven't had any, our couple have said, we don't really had any straight player encounters.
I think we got chased once or twice, but we managed to outspeed them because we had the Galleon, which is the fastest, and all four of us were working appropriately.
Freaking out.
Trying not to get murdered.
Yep. I do know that with the Reaper's stuff, they've kind of taken away from it, though, and which sucks because the Reaper's chests are no longer as lucrative as they used to be, which means if you want to do it, you can. But once you turn it in, you're going to be very disappointed with how much blue coin you get.
I'm going through some of the updates, and you're talking about losing things or nerfing things. They had a separate arena campaign specifically PvP. Do you think about this?
I that's how I got good at the game, was a lot of arena. God. And it sucked.
Apparently they ended up like they put it out for like an anniversary update, and then two updates later they took it out due to low player participation.
Yeah, it was,
no one was doing it.
It was very,
you want to explain it to us?
It was very, I don't want to say poorly put together, but I mean it. So essentially what it does is arena, you spawn in, and I think there are four other ships. There's your ship and then three others.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either choose to sail with random people and just go into quick play, or you can have, depending on what size of ship, either a sloop or a brigantine. There were no galleons. You could pick to, you know, do two people or three people. And then when you go in, you are on, I can't remember if it spawns you on opposite sides or all close enough together to see each other, but they sequester you off to a smaller portion of the actual map.
Mm-hmm.
And your main goal was to go around digging up treasure, turning it into these other, there were other boats that were computers or that were AI.
Mm-hmm.
You would turn these chests and any treasure in to them, and that would get you silver. And the more silver you had, the higher you were up on the leaderboard. Another way you could earn silver is by sinking player ships and killing players. Now, they, in the lot of arena that I played, or in, not in the grand amount, but I played a good bit of it, I really did not like it. It was a really nice way to get used to firing cannons at moving targets, because that typically when you're firing cannons, it's at another ship. And so arena allowed you to railroad yourself into doing that, but you did absolutely nothing else if you were on cannons. It was just ship fights. If you were on the helm, you were steering the ship, you had to drop the anchor, and then if you stopped at an island, you had to go get treasure. And you didn't really have time to, if you were getting treasure, there was no time to react to a player coming onto the island and attacking you. It was just kind of show your belly and let it happen. But it, even though it was a terribly, terribly put together thing, it helped me learn PvP and different combat styles, which is why I exclusively run a sword and the sniper rifle, the Eye of Reach.
Yeah, I don't know how I guess people find ways to get good at anything. There's just not like skill is the right word. Like there's not a lot of options. I don't feel like there's a lot of options for combat in the game. So I wonder what it takes to, like, if there's like a timing thing of like sword swings. I mean, I guess just sniping is one way to be good at it, but it doesn't seem like, you're really any. I wonder if a lot of sword fights just dumb down to people just like madly attacking the attack button as they run at each other, or if there's like a block timing thing, like system to the game. Or
I know that there's a block. I don't know if there's parry, but there's at least a block, right?
You can block. There's no parry, but there's you can either block or you can swing, and then there's a charge attack. The charge attack, if you miss, stuns you. Oh, so you don't see a lot of you. In fact, instead of seeing people use that in combat, a lot of people use that for movement. If you charge up it's a stabbing motion. So when you charge up your stab, if you time it just right, there's a frame you can jump just before you stab.
It cancels the fatigue.
Well, it doesn't cancel the fatigue, but it launches you. It's ridiculous. I have a friend who, whenever he gets off the ship, that's all he does. And it's not as far as shooting yourself out of a cannon, but if you're just trying to go like off the ship and onto the coast right off the ship, it's a pretty fast way of doing it.
But you still like land and hit the little stun thing.
Yeah, it still makes you breathe heavy and you move I don't even think it lets you move. I think you can just like look around for maybe a good 45 degrees.
Couple of seconds.
Yeah, it's just fatigue for a second. I agree with that combat though. There's not a lot of chance for other skill. It's really just down to block, hit, if you have the time stab, or shoot.
Yeah, I wonder why of all the thing. I know they're constantly, for a game like this, they have to constantly add like new missions and new stuff to do. I wonder why they, because it doesn't seem like they've expanded the combat at all since the initial launch of the game. You'd think they would try like, here's a fast sword or a slow sword or a heavy sword or lights, you know, just like different types of swords. I mean, you got two or three types of guns.
When you look at pirate movies, you only ever have a cutlass or maybe a rapier.
You can think of something. I mean,
like I said, you could have a cutlass or a rapier, but
spice up the
or a
combat,
dagger.
Spice up the combat.
I do know they did add one weapon. It's not something you can equip. You have to find it, and it's technically treasure, but it's the Trident of Dark Tides or something.
Is that staff I found?
Yeah, and that you can do a lot of damage with. However, it's so you've got bullets in your rifles and in your blunderbuss. This is more like a grenade launcher because it's got it does a lot of damage right up front, but it's a slower projectile. And if you charge it, there's three levels of charge: first, second, and third. All the way up to third charge. Instead of it firing in a straight projectile path, it lobs it and arcs it. So you've got to, not only do you have to adjust for arc at very short distances, you've also got to make sure you're leading the shot enough so that way that slower and slower projectile can get to it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that's probably got, is there friendly fire? I forget.
Not with the Trident. There's only one thing or two things you can do friendly fire with.
What are those?
The fire bombs or blunder bombs, and then the gunpowder barrels.
Yeah, I found one of those Trident things, but I just fired it. I mean, there was nothing to fight, so I just kind of fired it around the room. I was like, well, that was cool. I think I put it on I think it's treasure in it, so I think we ended up probably selling it for gold or something.
I think you can sell it to the souls. I don't think I've ever sold one before, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I might have. Who knows? We had piles of treasure. Who knows if it was in the piles or not?
Let's see. I'm scrolling through the updates again here, and right beside the where'd it go? The Reapers. There's something called Athena's Fortune. Is that like the opposite of a Reaper? What's the Athena's Fortune?
So Athena's Fortune is what you unlock when you get to the levels that I'm at in the game. There's the Gold Hoarders, Order of Souls, Merchants, Hunter's Call, and the Reapers Emissary.
And I saw something called Bilge Rats.
Bilge Rats is, I think that's commendations. That's all the side quest stuff you can do, like, oh, find all the skull thrones, find all the, yeah. And that gets you a lot of blue coin. But with the main emissaries, specifically what I did was the Gold Hoarder, Merchant, and Order of Souls. You have to get to level 50 with all three of them, or three of the main emissaries. Once you get to level 50, you unlock the title Pirate Legend and can now access the Athena's Fortune underground bar. And that's essentially beating the game, is getting Pirate Legend. It's the maximum casual rank you can get to. And that unlocks the Athena's Fortune emissary, which means you have an extra 30 levels with Athena's Fortune because typically you get 75 levels max with each of the groups. Athena's Fortune only has 30. And it takes a long time to level up. I've had Pirate Legend for maybe, I don't know when I got that achievement. I'll figure it out later, but I've had Pirate Legend for a while. I'm only level 10 with Athena's Fortune.
Gosh.
Cheese and crackers.
And is it different kinds of quests you do for that one? Or is it kind of more of the same stuff?
So that Veil run we did is an Athena's Fortune quest. If you have anyone that's Pirate Legend, you can do the Veil quest and get that line of story. There's also hunts for legendary merchant items where you deliver different legendary merchant like crates and stuff to different parts of the map. There's legendary loot hunts where you're digging up lost Athena loot. And then I think, I can't remember if there's an Order of Souls variant for Athena's, but essentially Athena's is the opposite of Reapers in the fact that they don't prioritize killing players. They prioritize the PvE stuff exclusively.
Yeah. It almost kind of, if the Reaper thing didn't go over as well as they hope, it kind of made, I don't know if the game sees more of like a PvE player base more than PvP. Even though the players fighting players on ships kind of seemed like a big push when the game first come out. It just, maybe this is not what they're, maybe they're just not seeing enough of that, which is strange considering like when the world of Dark Souls and stuff like that, people love attacking other people and like ruining their day. You'd think the whole game would be littered with it.
Oh, it is. We've gotten very lucky because Sea of Thieves isn't dying. Its player base is kind of thinning out a little bit though.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, nobody gets Sea of Thieves. I'm enjoying not being run up on, please. I'm enjoying getting away with the stupid crap I do. Leave me alone.
Because I'm looking at the numbers last year, June of last year, they had registered 30 million active players. And they registered active players was, they said 2 to 3 times a week was what they registered as an active player.
That's a lot. That sounds like a lot. I mean, that's not Fortnite numbers, but nothing's Fortnite numbers. No,
that's still quite a few people.
Yeah, that's a lot. Is that a lot? Well, but that's just last year?
That was June of last year, so they haven't put out another one that I could see. So I wonder if maybe that was like the peak they've reached.
That's a lot of players.
That's a lot of shoot.
They had the game showcase today. I wonder if they announced any Sea of Thieves stuff today. I haven't seen anything yet.
Mm-hmm. How long do the seasons usually last? Are they a year, 6 months?
It typically is, I think, 90 days. So 3 months. I couldn't tell you exactly. I think it, no, 100 days. 100 days. So just over 3 months.
Not bad.
I see, because the game's been out since March 2018. So I guess that number adds up in season 9.
I thought it released in 2015. Hold on.
According to my notes, they say it came out March 20th, 2018. Now, the idea was conceived in early 2014, and they tried doing a whole bunch of other ideas, including cavemen and dinosaurs and priests and vampires.
Oh, I'm
and
then so settled glad on they went pirates. With pirates.
It was more accessible. And people who I think around the time was Pirates of the Caribbean.
It was hot back then, yeah. It still doesn't have no competition. Like, I mean, what's it called? Skull and Bones still hasn't come out to have any kind of pirate competition. I
know. But you know what we're talking about? Skull and Bones?
Yeah.
I feel like that game... So, okay. Skull and, I have such a love-hate relationship with Skull and Bones because I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Exactly. That
ship combat in Black Flag, Black Flag as a whole was a great game. I feel like Skull and Bones is such a hype beast right now. It's going to be so bad when they release it. It's going to be like Ghost Recon Breakpoint all over again. I'm going to love the predecessor and then pre-order the biggest edition you can get of that game, and then it's going to suck.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're delaying it so much. I mean, you already have the most important part of that game already works in Black Flag. I just don't know what are they waiting on? Like the ranking, like to get up, what do you got to figure out? Like the base mechanics, the coding for how ship battles work was already perfect in Black Flag.
I think
you just didn't fight other players. Yeah, you just didn't fight other players. Maybe balancing is a big issue, I imagine.
Oh yeah.
I think they would do like maybe balancing is probably one of the biggest issues for multiplayer in general. I wonder if that's why the Sea of Thieves avoids balancing period by having no stats on anything. It's some kind of I think no stats makes it a little not as entertaining, but maybe balancing out ship stats and what can and different things do is who knows. They put out 10 Assassin's Creed games since Black Flag, and you can't put out one Skull and Bones game.
Because how long ago did Black Flag come out?
I don't know.
Because it was definitely before Sea of Thieves.
So Black Flag, yes, it came out well before Sea of Thieves.
And because of the love of it.
Black Flag was on Xbox 360. Sea of Thieves didn't come out to Xbox One.
Yeah.
So if you look for... I've got all the release dates pulled up because Oh, wow. I'll just go to Wikipedia. I don't want to look through that confusing thing.
Yeah, I could do it too on my phone, but you got a fast computer behind you, so.
There we go. Assassin's Creed games in order. So in 2007, they did the first one for Xbox 360. 2009 was 2. Brotherhood came out a year later. Revelations came out a year after that. And then 3 came out in 2012, so that was the American Revolution one.
Yeah,
and then
3 had 4, ship combat.
Yeah, it was very rudimentary and very short-lived, but yes, mm-hmm. It did. And then Black Flag came out in 2013. That's right, because Tobuscus made that Honest trailer, and it was amazing. That might date me a little bit.
I haven't watched Honest trailer in a while. But I love Black Flag was like the last Assassin's Creed game I played, and then I skipped to Origins because I got so it's too hard to keep up with Assassin's Creed games. I'm just now playing Origins. That's how behind I am, and I skipped from Black Flag to Origins to try to play more modern Assassin's Creed games. So I have a gap of games that I didn't play.
I've played everything up to Unity. Once Syndicate released, I stopped because Unity was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, hot mess.
That was one where like people didn't have like faces and crap,
like
right?
Teeth,
and
half the like city, teeth, floating teeth and eyes. It was very, very terrifying.
And half the city wasn't disgusting. Even there when you'd run around.
Yeah, I just like, I really like Black Flag. Blade doesn't play Assassin's Creed, but I like the sailing, of course. But then getting those rowboats and like trying to spearfish sharks and whales and stuff, that was crazy. That dude, that character, I don't remember his name right now, but
Edward.
But supposedly, like, people love that so much, they're going to do a Black Flag too. I was like, why didn't you do this 10 years ago? Like, when it was hot. But
because when was it Skull and Bones? When was that initially announced? I know
it had to be right after Black Flag because everybody was so excited about the ship combat.
Nothing actually has come out.
So the game began development in 2013 after Black Flag's release.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally it was going to be envisioned as an expansion to Black Flag, and then it was an MMO spinoff title under the name Black Flag Infinite, and then it was put on its own independent project line.
But then they still not put anything out.
The Black Flag name would have helped sell it.
Yeah.
Right?
Black Flag Infinite or something.
Infinite's kind of a
dumb name. It was revealed at the E3 conference of 2017 and was confirmed for Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One with enhancements for PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox One X. And alongside the game, Ubisoft Singapore announced the Keepers of the Code program designed to allow players to aid in the fine-tuning of its live service aspects.
What?
It was supposed to release in quarter three and quarter four of 2018, and then the game was delayed to 2019, and again after some time to March 2020, and then investors in October of 2019, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot confirmed that the game has been pushed back to at least 2021 to 2022.
And here we are in 2023.
And we do not have it. In May of 2021, Ubisoft announced a subsequent delay to the 2022-2023 fiscal year. In July 2022, the company revealed a November 8th release date for the game. In September of 2022, Ubisoft announced that the release was pushed to March 9th, 2023. In January 2023, they delayed it yet again to sometime during the 2023-2024 fiscal year due to recent launches underperforming.
Well, they have a playable game ready.
Maybe.
Technically
have a playable game
ready. I'm sure they said that about Breakpoint.
Yeah, well, or Redfall.
Because it's so delayed now. People aren't, I mean, I guess people are going to care. We're talking about it, so people care, but I should have struck while the iron was hot.
That's the thing, though. It's Black Flag ship combat. When you talk to people about Black Flag, at least for me, people talk about Black Flag, the first thing I jump to is not even the ship combat, just the ship ambience. You've got people singing shanties. Because of Black Flag, I now know, like off the top of my head, can sing three or four by memory that aren't even in the game. But
aren't in the game?
It's just, there's, I think maybe, so there's Spanish ladies is in the game. They've got a shortened Randy Dandio. They're all shortened. And then I know One More Pull and Ashes, which are all covers and original releases by the Longest Johns.
So you're ready for Skull and Bones, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I know for a fact that if this game tanks, I'm going to be, even if I don't pre-order it, I'm going to be disappointed.
It has to have a little bit of a life. There's nothing like, I mean, people have played it. There's like playing, like sailing a ship in Black Flag is not the same feelings as sailing in Sea of Thieves. Oh, so like, no. you don't get that, like the same look or same feel. It could be because the graphics maybe a little bit like Black Flag was more focused on like realism and stuff like that. It kind of looked, I think, now granted, it might not look as good as Sea of Thieves looks now maybe, but like at the time, like Black Flag looked incredible when you were playing it. And I don't think I even played the remastered version of Black Flag. I think I played it originally and never even played it when they re-put it back out again.
I bought the back port to Xbox 360, and then when I got an Xbox One, I played the original. Mm-hmm. I now have bought it for my fiance, who loves that game, on our Series S that sits in our living room, and then I bought the Rogue Black Flag combo pack for my Switch.
Jeez.
And if you haven't played Rogue, Rogue is essentially Black Flag, but instead of you playing as an assassin or a pirate turned assassin, you play as an assassin turned Templar.
I played it for so much fun. I played it for like an hour and a half, and I was like,
I'd rather just be playing Black Flag.
You get a boat, you get your boat almost immediately, like in that game, and you're kind of like sailing around. I'm like, oh, I've already kind of done this, or like I've already did all of this mess. They released this game already.
Damn.
Yeah. It came out relatively close, I think, to Black Flag.
Well, that was when they were doing yearly annual releases, weren't they?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, so they had, yeah, that was an annual release. So they did Black Flag, and then the next year they did Rogue. The story of Rogue was insane. I think that's what I stuck with that game for at least.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever go back to it or not. We'll see. We'll see if I ever find my way backwards as I'm slowly crawling my way through Origins, because Origins is such a endeavor to get through. I break that game up into like, I told Blake the only way I can like chip away at that game is I play it in like 20 hour snippets. I play it for like 20 hours and I go take a break and play something else, and I'll come back to Origins and play it again. I don't know if you played Origins, or the sheer size put you off.
I have not played Origins. I played Unity, and then Syndicate came out and I didn't get it, and then Origins came out after that, and I thought Origins was nice. It looked really cool, but at the time I was in school. I was still in college, right? No, that was 2017. I was a junior in high school. So I didn't have a job. I couldn't just go out and buy games. Any games that I did get, I had to mow lawns in the neighborhood. And at that time I was drum captain and in theater, so I didn't have much free time. Odyssey looked really cool, and then Valhalla looked sick, but I haven't played any of the newer ones.
Apparently Valhalla has all of Europe in it.
Apparently, yeah, like all of
scale or something. Like Valhalla is supposed to be baddie, how big it is. I don't know when I'll ever get to that.
And because of the size, I'll never play it.
Yeah, he won't play big games.
I play games so that I can play the game, finish it, enjoy the experience, and move on. For something like, I'm not spending 200, 300 hours in that game and like, oh yeah, we're still putting out DLC, fella.
Yeah, it's like Valhalla is like casually 250 hours at a casual pace. It's just like, come on.
And I can't, there's too many games out there to play.
Yeah.
I can feel a hole burning in my wallet as you talk about how much time you can spend in this game casually. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I like it. See, there's another podcast that we listen to called Get Played. And one of the co-hosts, Heather Ann Campbell, she's like, oh yeah, I've spent 244 hours in this game and I have gotten everything. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Jesus. And they're like, oh yeah. And she's like,
that was before they announced the expansions.
Yeah. That's mind blowing.
Yeah. For sort of back to Sea of Thieves, but are you familiar with the developer of Sea of Thieves at all?
Rareware?
Yeah, Rare.
I'm familiar with a lot of their older stuff, like Conker's Bad Fur Day and Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're familiar with their catalog, because they are a relatively famous developer.
I can talk about that kind of briefly, because that is part of my notes.
Yeah, sure.
I can see it's Rare.
Yeah.
They're out of Britain. They're British. They've been around since 1985. And they have 200 plus employees and 100 plus games that they've made.
Yeah.
Now that's a little fluffed, because they did handle all of their ports.
All their own ports.
For other consoles. And so they count as their games making. Yeah. But still, they're responsible for a whole bunch of stuff. Like Tex just said, we have Conker's Bad Fur Day. As well as some other.
I'm surprised that hasn't come back yet.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Are you sure it hasn't come back?
Oh, did they announce something today?
They didn't. Not today.
But they announced. It had a remake or something, didn't it?
Yeah, it had not recently. I think it was a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Was that the last one Reloaded? That was like the Xbox 360 kind of remake.
Conker's sequel. So they had Conker's a series of platforming games. They had Conker's Pocket Tales, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Conker Live and Reloaded in 2005, and then Young Conker in 2016. For the Microsoft HoloLens.
What's the HoloLens?
Not a clue. I have never heard of that.
I've heard of it. It was like an AR thing, I thought, but I don't think they've already killed it, I'm sure.
Yep. Mixed reality business. It's, yeah. Ooh, that looks disgusting. What the heck? Yeah, no, I'm not
maybe,
doing that.
Maybe it's best we never saw that one.
Conker had in 2005, they did have that Locked and Reloaded. And then I could have swore I saw not like this year, but within the last few years, I thought I saw something about it. Who knows?
I don't see anything on the...
Original Conquer came out with one of those things that our mom had no idea what we were playing or doing. And we're like, we want to rent this game. And we're like, my mom's like, okay. And we take it up to the register. Dude's like, I need to see ID. And she's like, why? He's like, well, the video game's rated M. And she's like, should you guys be playing this? And we're like, yeah, it's fine. She goes, okay. She showed her ID. And we got to rent Conquer Bad Fur Day. And we had to have been 13 or younger.
Yeah. So we probably shouldn't have been playing.
No, our mom didn't care. Actually, I remember to this day, on a random tangent, I remember being 6, maybe even younger than 6, but cognitive enough to know I think I was 6. And I remember watching the horror movie Hellraiser. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite movies, my favorite horror movies. And I'm like, I go back and I watch it as an adult. And I'm like, why aren't I more messed up? But I'm armed. Just
questions
didn't.
Like she that was... to keep you sane.
Yeah, maybe.
No Conquer news today.
I know where Rareware went. Oh my goodness. Is that really what happened?
Hmm? Well, they got bought.
They disappeared. I know they got bought out by Microsoft because that's how freaking nuts and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts came around. That sucked.
Yeah.
Everybody hates that game.
It was bad. But in 2009, apparently Rareware came off of the game dev scene, and instead of developing games, they focused on the Xbox Kinect.
Oh, I remember that. Forgot about that. That's all they did for a long time.
Yeah. 2009 to 2014, they focused on the Kinect.
What a waste of them. What a waste of resources. You acquire a really, really popular and usually really good developer, and you just...
Well, hold on. Before we keep going, some of the other games they made. Like I said, we had Conquer and, of course, Banjo. Anything Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie. They're responsible for the Donkey Kong Country series, as well as the creation of Battletoads, Perfect Dark, Killer Instinct, and GoldenEye.
Hey, GoldenEye?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Remember that.
I mean, they did a bunch of other stuff too, but those were like knockout hitters. Ton of
smaller things like that. Yeah, no, they didn't. I guess they went from the Kinect probably straight into Sea of Thieves, probably, or at least into development of Sea of Thieves.
The kind of cool thing too for Sea of Thieves is for every game they've done a, what do you call it?
Proprietary
engine. Like they use their own in house engine for everything except for Sea of Thieves. It's the first time they use an outside engine for Sea of Thieves.
They use Unreal for Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
They got to be their own water engine, then.
Maybe. I didn't see anything about the water engine, which is strange because that's the best part of the game is how gorgeous the water is, hands down. I don't see anything mentioning specifically for a water engine.
You only think the water's beautiful because you haven't spent enough time in it.
Oh, yeah. It is a deadly...
It's terrifying. Deadly. Especially
I'm live scrolling right now, but I'm not seeing anything that mentions some sort of dynamic thing.
It's probably just maybe Unreal is just powering how good it looks, I guess. Well, they
got the BAFTA award for best UK developer for its work on GoldenEye. There it is.
There you go. I kind of wish they would I know Sea of Thieves is still going strong. I wish they'd kind of split off and do something new. They've been Sea of Thieves since it launched. That's all they've done.
Keep bringing them money. Microsoft is like, make us money.
Yeah, the Sea of Thieves. So, the new
something's
got to
support Halo at this point. God knows I'm not.
True.
I will say Halo Infinite is definitely a really good reload of that, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other day, I guess, if we end up playing that.
I did end up getting the campaign. So
you get it? Okay, so we'll touch on that like we ever we'll do another streams and stuff and just do some Halo.
Absolutely.
We quit playing what was the last one, Blake? Guardians or
I don't know.
Halo. What was the last Halo before Infinite?
Was that 5? I think it was just called Halo 5, wasn't it?
Halo, yeah, there was a Halo 4, then there was Halo Spartan or Halo Spartan Assault. Halo 5 was Guardians.
I think we quit we got to a boss in Guardians that was just like,
this isn't fun.
One of these Forerunner machine things, and it's like
the Didact and ended up being technology.
Because it was three of us playing
Precursors. Isn't that Jack and Daxter?
It's a lot of games. Microsoft steals ideas. I'm not gonna lie.
I remember being. It got to the point because it was the three of us, and we kept dying and having to restart like a big fight before the boss. And we're like, all right, it's going to get to the point now. Blake, you suck at these, so you stay at the very front of the map and just hide in this corner behind this boulder. So whenever we die, we can keep spawning on you and try to win this fight.
Yeah, never worked.
And I don't think we ever won that fight. We just stopped playing.
Yeah, quit playing.
I stopped playing at Halo 4, so y'all went a game further.
So you didn't play 5 then. Was 4 still the new developer? I don't remember. I've been out of the Halo loop for so long.
I think they switched developers at 3. I think 343, or no, not 343, Bungie backed out at 3.
I thought they did 3, and then they did, the last one they did was, ODST. Reach.
I don't
I thought that, yeah, man, I'm thinking the same.
I used to know my Halo better back in the day when I was, when I cared more about Halo.
I thought Bungie did Reach and then backed out for the other ones.
Yeah, maybe.
Bungie did. Oh, yeah. Y'all, I think, right.
Reach was their most popular one, wasn't it?
Reach is
Fall of Reach is one of the best stories in Halo, period, I think.
I mean, the book alone.
Yeah.
So they did Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 3.
And was that Aerial Drop?
ODST?
ODST, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did Halo 3. It was originally called Halo 3 Recon, switched it to Halo 3 ODST. So glad they, you know, went for that. And then, yep, there's Reach, released in 2010. Reach was the last game in the Halo franchise developed by Bungie.
And then Reach was definitely over.
Reach was fantastic.
Yeah. Might have been the good of the end of genuinely good Halo game.
At least good campaign.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anything else? Where are we at on time? Anything else about Rare that you're a fan of across their history?
There's not many other Rareware games I've actually spent the time to play. I've spent very little. The time that I did spend playing Banjo-Kazooie was when I was still in elementary school, going to a daycare that had a Nintendo 64. Probably the only functioning Nintendo 64 available in my hometown.
You can play it now on Switch if you wanted to.
If I buy the $100 version of Nintendo Online.
It's like 60.
No, I don't pay anything for multiplayer right now. So, but the
I was looking at the last couple of things that they've done. We have Sea of Thieves 2018. They did a sequel or whatever to Battletoads in 2020.
Yeah,
and then they're working on something right now called Everwild for.
I saw that.
It says TBA. Well, I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Should it show anything for it?
All I see is a picture, self-shaded art. It's a third-person adventure game with elements taken from God games. And recent reports suggest that the game is set to have no combat whatsoever. What's God games?
God games like Black and White and stuff like that, where you float above and you like
Spore, artificial life games. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Spore. Oh my god. They're taking back. Oh no. Oh no. That game's still going. They've discontinued services for Spore though.
Yeah.
This is a random thing.
Everwild doesn't sound like it'll go over well.
Everwild will be more of a Viva Pinata like game than a survival game.
Okay.
What?
Now I know I'm not buying it.
We're very confident that it's going to be a great game, says Greg Malise, who's one of the founders.
I'm sure he thinks that. Everyone thinks that.
Every founder thinks their games are going to be great.
I was confident my first two YouTube channels would pan out right, and here they are deleted.
Thankfully so, because they were cringy.
Banished to the Shadow Realm.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, you just said another nerd thing, which makes me think of because the other night during your stream, you whipped out some Pokemon cards.
Ooh, yes, I have two new ones.
And you were really excited about sharing those because you almost completed, like, I guess, for the most recent set.
So not the most recent because they've come out with the Scarlet, Violet, and then Palkia Evolved sets. But the set that came out before that, Crown Zenith, which was still in the Sword Shield era, and they came out with. I don't know how often they've done this, but they came out with a subset of cards within the Crown Zenith pack that is, they've got Crown Zenith and then they've got the Galarian Gallery. There are 70 cards in that set, and every single card is an alternate full art card that features a specific Pokemon. So they had like a different Pikachu card, where instead of it being just Pikachu in the little square box with stats under it and then yellow everywhere.
Oh, was the extended art or full art? The whole card?
It was a picture of those Pikachu are always so using pretty. A leaf as a parachute. It was awesome. It was cute. I might have some in my big red book here.
But while you're digging, do you collect or play or both, or do you actually find it's hard to find people to play? Yeah, it's hard to find people to play. We used to be really big into Magic, and just getting people together to play Magic the Gathering is just a hassle that's never worth it.
My fiance is currently getting me into Magic the Gathering and is teaching me how to play it slowly but surely.
Oh, dude, I love me some Magic the Gathering.
Keep it in the back of your mind somewhere. There's a Magic...
I think it's just called Magic Duels.
Magic Duels on the Xbox and PC and stuff like that. So maybe we'll do some
online. It's old, but
online Magic. Those games are usually handled pretty well, and they do all the math for you. It's a lot easier.
Oh hell yeah!
And they add all the numbers up for you in a video game. So we can probably might help us all get into some Magic at some point. And ask our cousin Brian if he's interested in doing Magic. We used to play a lot of Magic online back in the day.
So if you look here, this is one of the Galarian Gallery cards. It's the Keldeo card.
Yeah,
that's nice. And I don't know how. It's got full art Aurora Borealis. Oh, dude. Let me go grab the other three that I have out of that, the main four. So like I was saying, there's 70 cards in this, right? 70? Yeah. There's 70 Galarian Gallery cards within Crown Zenith. And four of them are, instead of it just being, you know, like a regular, oh, Keldeo's behind or in front of the night sky, they've got a Bibarel, the beaver Pokemon that's building a dam in a river. They brought back the Diamond and Pearl and Platinum Pokemon, Arceus, Palkia, Dialga, and Giratina for a huge four-card mural that it's not like
together.
You've got to kind of, it's not like the regular multi-cards where it sets up as like the 2x2.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Arceus is at the top because Arceus is the god Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then below Arceus is Giratina with a big like tree of life art looking thing behind it, and then they've got Palkia going off to one direction and Dialga going off to the other, and each of them is their own separate card. It is my, other than the original, like the vintage 1999 base set first edition art style, it is my favorite set of cards. Let me go get them real quick. I've got them set outside of my table.
No problem.
All right, I've returned.
Awesome. All right,
so I'll make my way up. Because even though Arceus is the god Pokemon, he's not the best card in the set. So we've got the first one that I've got is Palkia. I'm trying to get it to where it's not reflecting as much light. But you can see it's in his origin form, so he looks like a horse.
Yeah.
Floating off into the distance. There's a mountain behind him to the right. Yeah. And then the golden clouds and skyline in the background. After that, we've got the Arceus card.
At the peak.
Yep, peak of the mountain.
Is it Arceus or Arceus?
I say Arceus. I've heard people call him Arceus. You can say whatever you want. You can be as wrong as you wish.
What do they say in the TV show? Surely he's been on TV. We don't watch the show.
He has a whole game dedicated to him. I'm sure his name gets said in that somewhere, right?
There's no voice
acting. Oh, yeah, there's no voice acting in Pokemon.
There might be in Legends Arceus. I haven't played it.
But Arceus sounds a lot cooler than Arceus.
Either way.
Arceus sounds like you're being a douche.
Actually, it's pronounced... All right, Arceus pronunciation.
It's pronounced Arceus? I'm going to beat you up, gang nerd.
Google says it's Arceus.
All right, there you go.
Arceus sounds better.
That's what we'll go with.
We haven't played that one yet either.
The showcase card for this, actually, instead of being Arceus, was Giratina. And Giratina of the four is my favorite, but...
Which form is he in?
He's in his ghost form.
Okay. Come on, get big, stupid computer.
Yeah.
That's noise.
Pretty cool.
I don't think I know that Pokemon. Giratina was introduced in Platinum.
Yeah, because we're going through all the Pokemon games, because Drew played back in the day. We played Red and Blue and Gold and Silver, and then he didn't touch another Pokemon game till Sword and Shield, and was very disappointed in Hop.
Oh my god, Hop
made me hate Pokemon games. So Blake's like, let's go back to the beginning. We'll play everything up to here, and we'll do it all. So we've been playing together, and I didn't play Platinum.
Played Diamond and Pearl.
I didn't play Platinum.
Giratina is death.
Platinum, yeah. He is the...
He's basically death.
He's the Lucifer-Satan Pokemon parallel. And he is...
Arceus is God, and so they had to have Satan, which is Giratina.
I'm trying to get them lined up, because I've got them in the hard... I've got them in two different sleeves, one of them being the plastic hardcover.
Sorry, folks. We're getting cool visuals here. If you're curious, just Google the names of the cards he's talking about.
This is for us, not for y'all.
Yes, this is for us, not for y'all.
This is... Here's the code for it. It's Galarian. The Giratina's Galarian Gallery 69. Arceus is Galarian Gallery 70, and Palkia is Galarian Gallery 67.
Yeah, so if you're a Pokemon fan, look these up.
Are you missing Dialga?
I am missing Dialga. Here's the thing. I had the Dialga. It was the first one of the four I got, and I sold it along with my base set, not first edition, but base set Charizard, and I sold them for way more than I had any right selling them for. But
kind of hard to say no to something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the dude quite understood what card he was buying when he saw the Charizard. I think he might have thought it was a first edition, which goes for a considerable amount more.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's that dumb person's name? Jake
One of the Paul
Paul
brothers.
Who said like $10 million or $10
million. He paid half a million. I think it was like $525,000.
Yeah.
And that drove the price of that card up a great deal.
Significantly.
Gross.
All for a piece of cardboard.
I hope the Paul blood, not trying to throw shade, I hope the Paul bloodline dies with them. they ruined several things, including travel to Japan. It was great.
all sorts of stuff. Let's see, while we're on the Pokemon topic, I'm curious, because people who play Pokemon always like asking this question. If you could be a gym leader, what type would you use? And if you're quick enough, what team would you use?
Already got this.
locked and loaded.
Oh, yeah. So I have two answers. My first answer, my first choice is dragon type.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a lance.
I don't know if I'll be that guy, but my favorite Pokemon I have found, other than legendaries, have always been dragon types. Dragonite has always been a really good Pokemon. I think my favorite dragon type that would be my starter. If I can find my list that I've got a list somewhere on this computer.
of your team six.
Oh yeah.
I hear small kids running around.
I gotcha.
Uh-oh.
So you get your team ready?
Yep. I've got my first two, it doesn't matter which order they're in, is Latios and Latias. They're the jet.
Yeah,
they're half dragon, half psychic, but primarily dragon type. Those would easily be, if I can't have both, one of those would be a starter on my list. Another primary dragon type that I'm still fighting in Sword. I hate this because it's got technically two phases in Sword and Shield, but Zygarde, which is the Z Pokemon. It is. Yeah. I'm not quite sure if it's a legendary or not. If it is,
He's a legendary. His 100% form is definitely legendary, but like the other ones ain't.
Oh my god, Zygarde.
He looks badass.
His complete form is amazing. It's just really hard in the max raids. Dragapult is another Pokemon I'd use.
I don't think I've seen that one.
He's introduced in Sword and Shield. He's got the big arrowhead, and he launches the baby forms out of his head.
He shoots babies.
No, been a while since I played Sword and Shield now.
Kamoho is another one. So I've got Latios or Latias, Kamoho, Dragapult. I really don't want to just be that one douche and use nothing but legendaries. So I'm struggling to find Garchomp.
Yeah, we all know you're going to use a Garchomp.
Yeah, Cynthia has given me enough PTSD that I would like to instill it on other people now. Garchomp is just, I have to use it. And that's going to be my, gym leaders only have three, right? No, they have six.
Oh, no, I'm saying you could have six. You could have a full roster.
Okay. Full roster of six dragons.
That's yeah. So Garchomp would be my fourth.
Mm-hmm. You walk in there with a Jigglypuff that knows Dazzle and Gleam. You're set.
See, I didn't do that. Definitely a Druidigon and a Haxorus.
Haxorus is that one you used in
yellow,
black and white.
Yellow. And like the red things.
Yeah, he's pretty cool looking.
Mm-hmm. Haxorus carried me through my black and white playthrough.
Yeah, he looked dope.
Yeah, we talk about black and white. I thought black and white had like a we played X and Y last. But black and white had the whole game had like a weird vibe to it. I don't know. It was kind of after Diamond and Pearl. It was such a strange game to come after Diamond and Pearl.
It's because black and white had sequels. There was black and white, and then there was black 2 and white 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequels were I played both, and I think the sequels were okay. However. Definitely could have fit it all in one game.
Yeah, we didn't bother playing the sequels yet. I didn't know if they were worth.
It's the only
sequels or like small expansions to what was happening in the first.
It's the only mainline Pokemon game I haven't played where Black and White 2.
They were fun. I'll give them that.
Now, I hate to turn this Sea of Thieves podcast to Pokemon podcast, but
it's a video game podcast.
When it comes to starters, I'm a water starter for life.
God, you must love defensive moves. You must love that. Not even defensive moves. You must love effects.
I mean, because I don't ever do anything competitive. So if I have a Pokemon move that doesn't deal damage to something, I'm not using it.
Missing out. You can really cheese a lot of boss fights that way.
Oh, yeah. Because one of my favorite combos that I've learned about recently from listening to another Pokemon podcast called the Experience Share podcast is one of the characters had a Cloyster, and he's like, he starts every fight with using Toxic and then Clamp. And it's just because they're stuck for like two or three turns with taking progressively worse poison damage.
So annoying. I would hate that.
It would be awful.
When you come to realize pretty quickly when you're playing through the entire franchise, like we've been doing, is that's what all gym leaders ever do is have little gimmicks.
Let me just cast Swagger every turn.
Yeah, okay, cool. Quick hot take for Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Why the hell isn't Charizard a dragon type already?
He is when he mega evolves.
Yeah, that's the only time you can have him a dragon type. Charizard is literally a dragon. He spawns from a baby dragon to a juvenile dragon to an adult dragon. That's its evolution cycle. Yet it only gets the half dragon type label whenever you mega evolve it, and that's stupid.
But we could totally turn a psychic coconut tree into a dragon.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh my god, there it is on the list. That is stupid. Oh my god!
Executor, not Galarian, Executor...
Alolan
version.
That is... So...
Why is that?
It's a tree! Thing? Why is it a dragon?
It's grass dragon, I don't know. I don't understand why he is. Same thing for, what's that one in Sun and Moon? The one that's literally a skyscraper dragon?
That's Duraludon.
Steel dragon.
Duraludon?
Yeah, yep. Duraludon, because that came back in a Sword and Shield.
The dragons get weird. Look at Gudra. That's just a ball of slime.
Yeah, I use Gudra in my X and Y playthrough.
She's nice, very powerful, but it's so weird. And you look at Noivern, that's a bat, but they're like, it's a flying dragon. Wink, wink, hint, hint. But yeah,
whatever.
But yet the dragon can't be a dragon.
That's stupid.
Walking Wake, excuse me?
Hmm?
What is that? Oh, it's a paradox Pokemon.
What's a paradox Pokemon?
I've seen some stuff like that popping up on TikTok. I don't know what paradox Pokemon are. Might have been something from Arceus, because I haven't played Arceus.
Yeah, me either. I didn't heard that term before.
Mm-mm.
Paradox Pokemon. I'll look it up right now. Paradox Pokemon are a group of Pokemon found in Scarlet and Violet. Okay, so it's another new game I haven't played.
Yeah, we haven't gotten around Scarlet and Violet yet.
They have two subgroups, one made of Pokemon resembling ancient relatives of contemporary Pokemon. Oh, that's sick. And one resembling futuristic relatives of contemporary Pokemon. They are all gender unknown and unable to evolve or breed, with the exceptions of Koraidon and Maraidon, the legendaries of Scarlet and Violet. Their names do not follow regular naming conventions. All of them share the category of Paradox Pokemon.
That's kind of cool.
So in this case, Walking Wake is a Suicune. I can clearly see the Suicune. Let me see if I can copy image and I'll send it in the chat here. This is a Bulbapedia article, but this is the Walking Wake Pokemon from Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, that's dope.
That's cool.
Right? Suicune got an upgrade.
Oh, two legs too. Very strange.
Two tails.
Kind of scary looking now. It was kind of sleek and kind of cute or pretty, and now it's kind of just scary and mean looking.
I wonder if that's their way of, like, depending on, like, internet presence and fan art of certain Pokemon, if they make it official in subsequent releases.
Well, I know a lot of people have been making Paradox, but because I guess with Scarlet and Violet bringing it, people are like, oh my god, this is crazy. Like, people, I've seen one specific person make a Paradox Pokemon based off of a different United, like, different states in the U.S. The Texas one looks pretty good.
I feel like there might be some bias there.
I haven't seen that stuff.
I don't know if you've ever seen a Pokemon with a big iron on its hip, but it's pretty intimidating. And by God, if that thing doesn't shoot the hat off of somebody, I'm not going to be happy. Like, give it a new paradox move. If paradox moves are a thing, it can be like, oh, Deadeye. So the Pokemon freezes for a moment, does the little twirl, and then bang.
Oh,
that's great.
That's like, that's like some Digimon shit.
Instead of using, oh yeah, go use Thunderbolt. No, use gun. I've got 45 caliber.
Well, that was the whole joke with Sword and Shield. They wanted there to be a
Sword, Shield, and Gun.
Yeah, a third release and Gun. I've seen those all over the place.
One Pokemon to rule them all.
His name's Gunny. Bang, 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 bang.
This is Glockamon.
Oh, let me some Pokemon. You said you had two choices. What was the other one besides Dragon for your gym?
Fire.
Fire.
Definitely fire.
I'm guessing Jar Jar would be on that team because he's not a dragon.
No. Get out of my head.
That's fair.
But yeah, Charizard would be my finisher out of that group. I'd definitely start with other simpler fire type Pokemon, though.
That's fair.
One of which being, I'd like to stick with pure fire type for that team, but Typhlosion is definitely on that team because I played with Cyndaquil for an entire game, and oh my god, that was one of the, I've never been like attached to a Pokemon before. Mm-hmm. I was attached to that Cyndaquil. That Cyndaquil was my first Nuzlocke, and I don't know if y'all know what that is, but
I've never done one, but I've been curious about it.
It's oh my god,
so stressful.
It is, because again, you catch a Pokemon, and if it faints, it dies. You can't just use it again. So it, like, Cyndaquil lasted me all the way through my Nuzlocke run and made it all the way through the final four, the Elite Four, whatever it was in that game, made it all the way through it. And it was the only original Pokemon from my first party that had made it.
I don't think I torture myself like that.
It's oh
and,
my
and on top of a Nuzlocke, you have to name them so you get more attached.
Yep.
What was your Cyndaquil's or Typhlosion's name?
It was Bobbert.
Bobbert.
B-O-B-E-R-T. Bobbert.
And you scream that name all the time. You're like, Bobbert, don't let me down, buddy. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Bobbert. Woo! I did a similar thing when I started Sword and Shield. Because I did another fire starter. I did the Cinderace or the Scorbunny. And I named it Gregorny. Spelling for that is in the chat, but for those listening, Gregorny. Gregorny.
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
Yeah. What'd you name that fox thing in Sea of Thieves?
Oh yeah, you're
what was that name?
The black fox that I bought with real money. I spent real money to give it this name is Toyotathon.
Toyotathon?
Toyotathon. Just because I didn't want it to just be named. Because when you buy fox. The pet, its original name is whatever the type it is, and then fox or whatever animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want it to, I didn't know what name I wanted to give it. So I was just like, yeah, we'll just have a placeholder. Toyotathon. And it's just been that.
Because you could change it, but it costs real money to change the name, doesn't it?
No. Oh, no. It costs real money to rename your ship, but pets you can rename at any point. But in order to name it in the first place, you have to buy that pet. And so I bought a fox.
And his name is Toyotathon. And he is adorable.
Yeah. You can carry around and pet it and stuff, apparently.
He can teleport.
Often we'd be doing something, it'd be ahead of us somehow. Like it was better at adventuring than we were.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Always. Like, all dudes? My pets are like that. We have one. I have a hellhound. It's a German shepherd that's on fire called, what's its name? Barkiplier.
I get
that
it.
That one was put up to a vote. I on a stream, I kind of was joking and I was like, oh, we're gonna name it Barkiplier. And my fiance was playing with us. One of our really good friends, Red Viren, was playing with us, and then I can't remember who else was with us at that time, but everybody in stream chat and on Twitter and in this, like, everyone playing with me was like, yep, Markiplier's the name. And so I put it up to Twitter to decide, and was like, look, if Markiplier replies to me and tells me to stop, it's not gonna, or if Markiplier replies and gives me a different name, I'll name it something else, but I guess it's gonna stay Markiplier until then. And I'm sure that man does not know I exist.
It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely fine. I'd rather him remain blissfully ignorant of my existence.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't follow him or anything like that.
I'm aware. I had an ex who was really into him and that Irish dude, Jacksepticeye. Yeah,
they both own Cloak brand. Fantastic. It's an expensive brand of clothing and stuff, but they're, from what I've seen, I've yet to meet them in person. They're fantastic human beings from the like little interactions my friends have had with them and from other people I've seen online.
That's surprising. You would think they would be.
You think anybody YouTube who got monsters. Famous because of other people would be nice to people?
Yeah, you would think. You would hope.
Not to shame. Oh, there goes my dog. Not to shame YouTubers and content creators, podcasters, and all the like.
Mm-hmm.
But because, like with Twitch, I owe every bit of success, even the little bit that I have. The little bit of success I have to Twitch is to people who follow me and support me and who give me opportunities that I wouldn't normally have, like you guys giving me an opportunity to come on your show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every bit of success I get is owed to that.
Yeah. Maybe you don't have listeners or supporters. You don't have anything.
What's the point? Yeah.
Exactly.
Just yelling at the wind. I guess that on that note, it's probably as good a time as any because we're a little bit over an hour.
Well, before we end, I had one quick thing. It may turn into something else, but I wanted to ask you, at the end of one of our streams, you mentioned you had to get off because you were going to go do some voice acting work.
Yes.
I was kind of curious about that. We've never had like an amateur or professional voice actor on here. I was just curious as to what that was about, or if you could talk about it. It could be a project you can't.
I can absolutely talk about this. So I've been affiliating with other voice actors that are way bigger than I am. The whole reason I got into it was a convention that I guested at down here in Texas called New Wave Expo. There were voices, like they had Jim Ferranda, who voices several characters outside of this game, but he voiced Claptrap in Borderlands 3. Marcus Malden voiced Brick, was also there. And then they had another man who was wonderful to hang out with named Tom McKee, who voiced all the zombies in season 5 of One Piece English dub. And I ended up having dinner with Tom one night, and I'd always been interested in voice acting, but I never really knew where to start. And Tom told me, after my fiance and I kidnapped him from the hotel dining room and took him to the first ever Whataburger, he told me the best thing I could do with the equipment I have, because he again told him about my equipment. He goes, the best thing you can do is just get something that cleans up your voice a little bit, which I am using at this moment. And put your voice out there, and whoever wants it will want it, and they'll either offer you paid work or offer you exposure. And so right now, all I do is work for exposure, but the project that I have been voice acting for consistently is something called Fernhill County. It's kind of like a Walking Dead style drama animation that I'm working on with. The only thing I know this person as is Snivy, and they've been
Pokemon.
I don't know if that's how I pronounce it. It's Sniv YYY. I don't exactly know, but it's an adult series. It's a mature series.
Mm-hmm.
But I play two different characters. I play a sheriff and his deputy, and I'm not quite sure when we're thinking it's going to be released. Late, at least July onto early 2024, I think, is when they're going to be finalizing animations and stuff like that.
Nice.
I'm frantically scrolling through trying to find any information this person has sent me.
Yeah,
that's fine. I mean, maybe at the end or like a day you can send this, like, I don't know if there's like a link to like what I'm looking for, like promote
or a trailer or anything like that before it comes out. We'll
they share it and everything. They have an Instagram account, and that's the only thing that they have.
That's fine. Shoot us that link, and we'll share what we can and try to get more exposure for you, my man.
Absolutely.
And for the show itself.
From what it sounds like, it's supposed to be a really nice, you know, because again, I'm working on this for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's an at-home project. However,
and we podcast for free, so we're on board.
Yeah. But with what I've talked with to Snivy, if I'm mispronouncing that, correct me in my Discord DMs. with what I've talked about, it's their passion project. And until very recently, I was unaware that I was playing their two favorite characters and that they were very happy that they found me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Southern sheriff accent comes very easy when I live in Texas.
You just like, I just talk normal and every now and again say y'all or yonder.
It's not even that I talk normal. I spend a lot of my time hiding my accent. And so I really lean back into it, and it just happens.
There you go.
I've done that because we're from Tennessee. Oh, yeah. Like, so we're relatively Southern, but I remember making it a point at an early age, because I had kids in my like kindergarten class, first grade class. Hey y'all, how y'all doing? And I was like, you sound retarded. And I don't want to sound like that. And so at an early age, I purposely, to a point, because we moved from one small town to a slightly bigger town, and went from a place called Union City to a place called Dyersburg, and then from Dyersburg we moved to Nashville. But in Dyersburg, I would have people ask me where I was from because I talk so clean. You from New York or something? I'm like, no, I've lived here my entire life in Tennessee. Why you sound so weird? I don't sound weird, but I remember getting like picked on because I didn't sound country, because I didn't want to sound stupid.
Yeah, I lived in Houston, so I got Houston's such a big mix and mishmash.
Yeah, it's a hub.
We've got people from California. I've met people from New York. I met people from Australia.
Gosh.
That was definitely the battle of the accents, was when I was having a country off with the Australian man. That was fun. But I got made fun of for the opposite reason. I got made fun of because people couldn't understand me with how thick my accent was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a lot of my early childhood, instead of talking like this and getting all, because I can get fast.
Roll and Matthew McConaughey.
Yep. But oh God. But I would back off of it and kind of, and I took a lot of like inflection and stuff from my cousin, who was also doing the same thing, unknown to me. But we would talk almost as if we were from Northern California-esque, just trying to get rid of our accent. But now I found a happy middle ground. In fact, my entire Southern identity is my streaming handle. But yeah, the voice acting definitely has helped me become a lot more comfortable with my voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fernhill, especially with the characters I play.
we love voice actors.
Yeah.
People make fun of us because everyone's like, oh, when you watch an anime, subs always better than dubs. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, subs better than dubs.
Elitist.
Yeah,
it's so silly.
Well, we have an ongoing thing for this podcast as well, because we play a lot of, not even a lot of AAA games all the time. We play a lot of games from all over the radar for video games, and there's still a surprising number of games these days that just don't have voice acting. And we're like, so many games, voice acting would add so much personality to these characters. We've seen games with just big, loud, well, you know, loud with no voices. These big characters, you're like, man, this is just like, this needs voice acting so bad to bring this to life. And people will talk about like budgets and stuff like that. But like some places, like, developers will use their own in-house people sometimes when they're desperate, or like there's even now we heard about recently like websites you can go to like find like people like you that like aren't trying to like make a whole mega living off of it, but like just want to work. And like it's like, yeah, why even indie developers just pay somebody a little bit of money, just breathe some life into your project.
Hey, matter of fact, $5 bill, I'll get it done.
Well, yeah, the website, because we just did a game a couple episodes back called Kraken Academy.
Yeah.
And they put out a casting call for, and it was just chip voices. It wasn't even like full lines of dialogue, but it was like, hey, man, you know, just little chip lines. And it was a place called castingcall.club. And they put out a call for 7 individuals, 3 male, 4 female. And they got over 1,100 people submitting it for free. They just wanted to be a part of a game and have their voice in a game. And that was it. And big companies couldn't hire people for free.
Or just hire people in general.
For, like you said, for exposure. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Or a perfect example for an in-house talent. And this, okay, now this is more the exception than the rule. But what's her name? Johanna, I think her name is. But it's the girl from, are you aware of Hellblade, Senua's yes. Sacrifice?
Yeah.
Because she got the role. They're like, hey, just do this because we're going to use you as a placeholder. And then they fell in love with her performance, and they like, we can't have anyone else in this role now. You've ruined it because you did so well.
Yeah, and now she's like the face for the company. Now.
Yeah, like that's again, she's the exception for the rule, but use some in-house talent.
At least try.
Yeah. Sorry to go on that tangent, but yeah, it just seemed
people have been hearing our voice acting tangents for like every episode because we see so many games that don't have voice acting.
There are certain voice actors we're incredibly partial to. Like one of my favorites is because he's been a part of my life forever, mm-hmm. is the actor Johnny Young Bosch. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, he was Adam Parker, the second Black Ranger, and then continued to be a Power Ranger for many seasons of that. And then he went on to be Vash the Stampede, which is probably one of my favorite animes of all time, in Trigun.
Wait, the Black, is he in Trigun Stampede?
No, he is Vash the Stampede. He is the main character.
That's the second Black Ranger. Yeah, look up Johnny Young Bosch. If you don't know his voice acting career, look him up.
He also has a band, Shine Bright or something like that. He has like a alt rock band.
Johnny Young Bosch is awesome. He's in like everything now.
Yeah, he was all the way back to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, God. The movie. He was the, but I'm a frog. Yeah, but frogs get kissed. That's him, Johnny Young Bosch.
Yeah,
that is oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Voice acting's amazing, because what is being a Power Ranger besides being a voice actor half the time?
His career,
his career is incredible.
He also did Blue Exorcist, that I have seen.
Oh yeah, he's a phenomenal, and of course everyone knows Stephen Blum.
Yeah, Stephen Blum,
you know, everything. Spike Spiegel.
Yeah, we like Crispin Freeman.
Crispin Freeman's really good, really good. He was Alucard in Helsing and so many other things.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah. With blowing your mind that Johnny Young Bosch, the second Black Power Ranger, is this phenomenal voice actor.
It's not that he's a phenomenal voice actor. I mean, because I grew up on Power Rangers. It's the fact that I never knew, because I just recently got into Trigun. Trigun Stampede came out, and I was like, man, I really liked the first episode of that, so I might go watch the original. So I've watched
the original. The original is probably my favorite anime.
It's so good. I mean, Trigun Stampede's animation, the way they've fleshed it out compared to the original, it's just mm-hmm. completely taken off and gone.
Yeah, we haven't watched the new one. Yeah, we haven't watched the new ones yet. I remember getting announced and then kind of forgot about it.
I highly recommend it. Surely
Johnny Young still voicing Vash. He has to.
He has to. If he's not, I'm about to blow your mind here with another thing. You ever seen the movie Akira?
Yes.
He's Kaneda.
He's one of the main characters.
He is Kaneda. In I think the second dub, because there was an earlier dub like in the mid 90s, like the first time, but the second one, most popular one, he is the voice of Kaneda.
Yelling Tetsuo the whole movie.
Yeah. Tetsuo! But yeah, Kaneda is Johnny Young Bosch, aka Adam Parker, the second Black Power Ranger. He went on to be like a Green Ranger and some other stuff, but yeah, Mastodon. And like I said, he also has a rock band.
Yeah.
See, that I didn't even know. Yeah. Wow. Vocals and guitar.
Mm-hmm. And on top of all that, he's also a martial artist. He does stunt work and crap too.
I feel like if you're a Power Ranger, you have to be a martial artist.
You think you have to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's coming from a martial artist, because I did martial arts for 9 years as a kid. I feel like, especially growing up on Power Rangers, there's so many like jumps and kicks and just so many like extreme
martial arts. And not every fight's in the suit.
Exactly. The suit only makes it worse. That has to be hot in there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Especially, you know, the Black Ranger got that's got to
suck. it just sucks up light and heat. Yeah,
but some of the other ones like blue, pink, and yellow. Well, blue might be a little bad, but still, I'm glad I could blow your mind on some stuff.
Nice. Do you got anything else? We'll wrap this bad boy up.
At the end, I was going to ask about plugs, but no, I think
that's the last, the final thing. Yeah,
I think I asked all the questions I had.
Nice. So like a certain minute ago, before we got into the voice acting tangent, if you want to talk about your Twitch channel and the Discord channel, what do you call it?
That support channel you have?
Whatever
Content
you call it,
Creators Haven.
Creators Haven. Yeah. So yeah, if you want to talk about those for all that stuff for a couple of minutes, and we'll wrap this thing up and let you go.
All right. I do stream. So for everyone listening, I do have a Twitch channel. It's Texican01, and you can find me. I'm pretty sure either Texican or Texican01 will get you there. Mm-hmm. I've been streaming for a few years now. Mainly do Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, Cult of the Lamb. I'm bringing Dungeons and Dragons into the mix again, but I do a lot of games similar to that on top of Hades, Ultra Kill, and other smaller or indie games have come across, like Baba Is You.
Oh God!
But yeah,
I just bought Baba Is You. Me and my wife are gonna try to play Baba Is You together.
You're gonna get so upset with that game.
That's what I've heard. I've heard nothing but like you feel smart for about 5 minutes and then you're ruined.
Yep. I used to play that game sitting behind the counter at the mom and pop shop I worked at. It's hard.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, sorry. You're good. On top of that, you can find me on YouTube at Texican. There we go. And I'm trying to do a video a month. So the most recent YouTube video I have is a Sea of Thieves episode I did with my buddy and old roommate Adam.
Yeah.
For some reason that did way better than a lot of the other edited videos I've done, but there's that.
How is the YouTube stuff different from your streams specifically?
Oh, it's the exposure I get on YouTube is a lot more. It's way more substantial and frequent.
Yeah.
Because with YouTube, there's the suggested page. There's similar to this guy, and if I look at my analytics, I can actually tell you exactly where a lot of my views from that video, for my most popular video, came from.
Oh, like who suggested it and brought it to you or whatever?
Well, yeah, we get analytics for the podcast. We're mostly like 80% USA, and then everywhere else we're scattered across the world.
Some people out in Ghana. Right. Thank you guys for listening.
So
shout out to our China listeners.
All three
I used
of you.
To do something similar, but I've gotten a lot of my views have come in from like browser features. So like on Google, if you look up, Sea of Thieves YouTube video, I've gotten 297 of the 341 views on that video came from that. I got a percentage of that came from suggested videos. YouTube searches was 8.5%. Apparently I'm featured on other people's channel pages, which I didn't know. I don't know who's featuring me, but thank it you helps. Guys for that. Yeah, that's
friends 19% or people who are people who watch that. You, you know.
Hey.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is better than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I think a grand majority, like 80-something% of my viewers are from the United States.
That's what we are, to about 80% of our listeners from the United States.
It's cool
just to have anything outside of America, though. It's kind of cool.
I've got 50% US, or 40% US. I've got 8% UK, 5% Canada, and then 3% from Australia. Maybe that dude I had an accent battle with is
he counts as the third.
There's not many people in Australia, so maybe that makes up for a lot of that. But yeah, those are the two places you can find me. And then also on my Twitter at NotTexican01, there are several application links to what they were talking about, the Content Creators Haven, mm-hmm. where myself and a bunch of other smaller streamers, including my good friend Deadly Santa, have all come together and are trying to help promote each other in growing on Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, whatever platform. Santa and I both do research. There's a weekly, or it's not weekly right now because I've been rather busy on the weekend.
Yeah, I've seen the post about it, yeah.
Yeah, but we've got weekly, or I attempt to do weekly updates where I look up the top gaming or the top categories on Twitch with the viewer stats, and then the most watched games on YouTube. And then on top of that, I give one weekly tip to streamers and one weekly tip to content creators. Our last tip for both was, For creators, creating a series helps. Making a set of videos that follows the same game or same like video topic definitely helps build an audience. And then for streaming, I was talking about hardware. It was a very tough topic to talk about because hardware, it always gets into the talk of money. Mm-hmm. I've talked about doing, you know, you don't have to go out like me and buy this $100 microphone and a whole bunch of other equipment, like two monitors. Not necessary. You can absolutely do things budget. Like there's $20, I think they're condenser microphones with like $5 pop filters.
Is that what we have, Drew?
I'll talk about ours in just a second when you finish. Sorry.
I can't confirm that is what you're talking into.
Your microphone's on camera for some. So yeah,
I like my mic on camera. It's a nice aesthetic.
Yeah, but yours looks cool. People who listen to our podcast, I feel like it may damage our podcast because if you listen to us like now and then you go back, like some people you'll hear like it's like say somebody from your listeners or whatever your viewers will come from now, they'll listen to this episode because you're on it and they'll be like, well, that was fun. Let me go back to their first episode. And we're like, oh God, wish they wouldn't do that, because when this podcast started, we were sharing for like, I don't know how many episodes it was. We were sharing one USB mic. We're talking like budget.
You know, $5.
Can't spend any money on this. Like $20 USB mic. So we eventually now we came to what we're on now. These XLM, what are these called? What
things
are called?
XLRs.
XLR. We got two XLRs. They're like $80 or $100 a piece. We got the whole separate setup now. So we have all the whole thing now, but we sound completely different now than we did in the beginning. So I feel like a lot of folks maybe don't jump back to the first episode.
It's also running through, what is that, a splitter?
Whatever this little thing, the four focus right Scarlett thing. It's all got all that fun stuff.
The preamp.
Yeah. We have all that stuff now. We've had it for years now, but like if you jump back to the beginning episodes, there's no format at all. Like what our guest episodes like this, there's barely a format, but our actual episodes have a little bit more structure to them, but not in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's all messy, but some people like going back to old stuff and like listening to a podcast or a streamer just like start from the beginning and get better as they go along. I don't know how much better we've actually gotten, but we've been at it for a couple of years now.
People keep following me, so I know there's an answer to my question. I'm doing something correct.
Yeah, very cool.
But yeah, no, the Content Creators Haven, it's rolling applications. So you apply, the applications go directly to my cell phone. So whenever you apply, I get a notification and I try to take care of them same day, but I've now picked up a second job, so that might change. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Yeah. We're on there now too, so we'll see. But maybe in the future we'll roll back around to this. We might dip into there for other guests and stuff like that. When Blake did the Reddit post, he got quite a few responses for like a guest for the podcast.
We run through those.
We might run through some of those. But anyway, but it's a good place to go back because I see people posting all the time, asking questions, and it's a cool little community where people are pretty quick to like hop on and get involved. And it's kind of those little tight knit communities are the places.
How small it is, it's hard to not be tight knit like that.
Yeah, but I think these are the better places. Like if this group had like 10,000, I mean, I know you want it to grow, but like if this group had like 10,000, 20, you know, if it was huge, then like you don't have that personal feel. Like you'd be kind of like just chucking stuff out to the wind, and like it'd be so much stuff flying back at you. Maybe you want that. Maybe you personally want that in the long run. But like I like the tighter knit more.
I don't know about that.
well, some people do. Like some people want to grow and be big and have a big thing. I like a small, like just where you get personal answers from people, not people just like chucking random knowledge at you and stuff. People that want a genuine conversation with somebody about something like that, and that's what you get in little communities that you've created.
Well,
exactly. I'm in the same boat with you.
Yeah.
So I've noticed that because we used to go to a lot of concerts when we were a little younger, because we're in Nashville, a lot of bands come through here, and we would go to these smaller venues, and the musicians would be happier. They're like, and they would vocalize it like, we would rather do this 200, you know, person bar than go do the Gaylord downtown, because it's just better. It's more personal. You guys are here because you're actual fans at those big arenas. Yeah, we make more money, but those people come in there and they want to hear just the single that they're a fan of. But this is better.
Yeah.
And it's crazy hearing like a relatively large musician say that.
We'd rather have
these smaller venues.
Yeah.
More personal.
All right, so we'll wrap this thing up. I mean, pretty much this is how it is. No special ending or anything. Thanks for hopping on here with us and give us a bit of your time. If y'all want to keep track of him. I'm gonna get all the links for all his stuff. I'll be posting in the show notes for this podcast, and all the links for everything we do will be in there too. So if you follow our Twitch channel or his Twitch channel, follow them both, and we do a separate thing for just our regular listeners. That we do our co-op endeavors with our cousin Brian, and then every couple of weeks, whenever our schedules line up, we try to do something with Tex here. So just keep an eye on both of them and watch all, you know, drop in on all the stuff he's doing. We've had fun being involved in it. So try to get involved as well and just throw some love his way.
Please.
Please. All right. Well, thanks again. And we'll...
Doing sign off?
Yeah, I don't have a sign off. You got a sign off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right, buddy. We'll see you later.
See you later.
And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.